Mm-hmm. By the hands of the
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपा कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नृपति
प्रजानापति प्रजा
करो वै नष्टिपिष्टम
यष्टिपिष्टम
स्वधर्माराधनमच्युत
यदीहमानो
विजहात्य गोभगम शास्ताभिगोक्तानुपति
प्रजानाम्
यकिं करो वैनपि नष्टिपिष्टम् स्वधर्ममाराधनमच्युतस्य यदीहमानो विजहात अगौगम् शास्ताभिगोक्तानुपति
प्रजानां
यः किं करो वैनपि नष्टिपिष्टम् स्वधर्ममाराधनमच्युतस्य यदीहमानो विजहात गौघम्
गोप्तानुपति प्रजानाम् यकिं करो वै नपिनास्ति कृष्णम् स्वधर्ममाराधनमच्युतस्य यदीहमानो विजहात्य गौघम्
शास्ताभिगोक्ता नृपति प्रजानाम् यत्किं करो वै नपि नष्टिपिष्टम् स्वधर्ममाराधनमच्युतस्य यदीहमानो विजहात्य गौघम्
स्वधर्ममाराधनमच्युतस्य
यदीहमानो विजहात्य गौघम्
translation in purple by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My dear sir, you have said that the relationship between the king and the subject, or between the master and the servant, are not eternal. But although such relationships are temporary, when a person takes the position of a king, his duty is to rule the citizens and punish those who are disobedient to the laws. By punishing them, he teaches the citizens to obey the laws of the state. Again, you have said that punishing a person who is deaf and dumb is like chewing the cheek or grinding the pulp. That is to say, there is no benefit in it. However, if one is engaged in his own occupational duty as ordered by the Supreme Lord, his sinful activities are certainly diminished. Therefore, if one is engaged in his occupational duty by force, he benefits because he can vanquish all his sinful activities in that way. Purport. This argument offered by Maharaj Raghugana is certainly very effective. In his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Tasmat kenapi upayena mana Krishna niveshayet. Some or other, one should engage in Krishna consciousness. Actually, every living being is an eternal servant of Krishna, but due to forgetfulness, a living entity engages himself as an eternal servant of Maya. As long as one is engaged in Maya's service, he cannot be happy. Our Krishna conscious movement aims at engaging people in Lord Krishna's service. That will help them become free from all material contamination and sinful activity. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.10. Vitaraga bhaya krodha. By becoming detached from material activities, we will be freed from fear and anger. By austerity, one becomes purified and eligible to return home back to God. The duty of the king is to rule his citizens in such a way that they can become Krishna conscious. This would be very beneficial for everyone. Unfortunately, the king or president engages people in sense gratification instead of the Lord's service, and such activities are certainly not beneficial for anyone. King Raghugana tried to engage Jadabharat in carrying the palanquin, which is a form of sense gratification for the king. However, if one is engaged as a palanquin carrier in the Lord's service, that is certainly beneficial. In this godless civilization, if a president engages people, somehow or other, in devotional service or the awakening of Krishna consciousness, he renders the very best service to the citizens.
Swayam rupa kadamayam dhati swadarantikam vandeyam shigro shirta padakamalam shigro nashamasa shirupam sagrajatam sagnadavinatam vitam tam sadivam sadvaitam sadavadutam parinyasitam krishna chaitanya devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Vidham Shah He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinamando Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tata Kanchana Orangi Radhe Vrida Vaneshwari Vrishapanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Hare Vanchakalpatarujasha Tupasindhu Bhyay Vacha Patitanam Vagneyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
women are allowed to get the blessings of all the courses, especially Hare Krishna, all the different kinds of women. Thank you for this opportunity so that I can contemplate something from the scriptures. Reading this verse translation, because these are all questions by Maharaj Raghugana to Jadabharat. So we saw initially he is asking such nice questions. Initial part of his questions was very interesting. One of the questions was, what is the most secure shelter in this world? This was one of his questions. And the other question was, how can I advance in spiritual life? So this is the underlying mood of Maharaj Raghugana. So here there may it may sound like a challenging question. Here what he is posing, it looks like a counter argument or something like that. But initially his questions are, how can I advance in spiritual life and what is the most secure shelter in this world? So, so seeing this mood of Raghugana, we can understand that's why he was qualified that Jadabharat could open, because Jadabharat has come across so many people earlier but he never offered to speak. But here he was seeing Raghugana Maharaj, even before he spoke, he understood he is a king and also he has this kind of a philosophical inclination, so he can understand by being a pure devotee that he is offering. And as soon as he is like considered in being in the mode of passion, being a king, still, as soon as there is a little philosophical discussion, he is like completely into it. He has immediately got questions, he is like asking things and then his immediate spiritual interest comes out. So it's like, it's just in the surface there is mode of passion because he is executing that position, but there is deep spiritual inclination is there. So that qualifies him for his interaction with Jadabharat. So there are many things that can be spoken in this translation. So when I read the purport and also the translation, so especially this aspect of the relationship between a master and servant is brought out in this, because in the previous verse yesterday, Mataji spoke about this connection between the soul's identification with the body. So that was one question yesterday. Today's this question is between, you are saying that I am a king, I am the master, you are my servant, so you are challenging that this is a temporary relationship. So today I am your servant, tomorrow I can be your master. So in this way it's not a substantial thing, so one should not take it seriously. So one should not be bothered about that kind of a feeling of master and servant. But he is posing a very practical question. So you are saying this, but I am a king. If I won't assume that role and then correct citizens, and then engage them in a proper way, how will they benefit? So for that, executing that role as a king, I need to be in that mood of being a master and seeing others as my servants. Only when I engage them properly in their service, in their occupational duties properly, and that's the way they get purified. So it's a service of, it's my service to be, to play that role of a master and see them as servants and then engage them in their occupational duties. So there is going to be answer by Jadabharat in the future chapter. That is maybe different. But here Prabhupada gives the perfect Vaishnava understanding, and Prabhupada is just focusing on what can be beneficial for us from this verse. Instead of going into technically what this conversation is flowing in a kind of yogic mood, but Prabhupada is giving the perfect understanding. What will be helpful for us in this verse? So if you see, Prabhupada is taking this angle of, yes, king has to engage his citizens, take up that mood of master, somehow or other engage them in Krishna's service, not in his own service. Assume the role of master, but engage them in whose service? Krishna's service. So for that, he can accept the role, he can take up the mood of being a master. But what is his duty? However, if one is engaged as a palanquin carrier in the Lord's service, I'm reading from Purport, that is certainly beneficial. So in this godless civilization, if a president engages people somehow or other in devotional service or the awakening of Krishna consciousness, he renders the best service to the citizens. And then he takes Srila Rupa Goswami as a support. And then he's saying, Tasmat kenapi upayena mana Krishna niveshyat. So Rupa Goswami is saying, somehow or other engage your senses in the service of Krishna. So in this way, the king has to devise somehow or other some way so that the citizens can be engaged in the service of Krishna. So, and Raghuguna Maharaj is also posing this argument here that verse also, the third line reads nicely. Swadharma Maharadhanamanchitasya. So, this reflects or resonates the theme in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita also. Swakarmam Swakarmanam Tam Abhyarcha. Krishna also says, so people can worship me through performing their occupational duties. So here the same theme Maharaj Raghuguna is saying. So I thought that by engaging people in their occupational duties by force, or they do it naturally, they get purified. That's what my understanding was. So, but you are saying that this understanding of master and servant is all like superficial and one should not be in that platform. So what is it? How is it that? Because I thought if one is engaged in his occupational duty as ordered by the Supreme Lord, his sinful activities are certainly diminished. So if they don't do it, as a king I have to force it. So what's wrong in being that master, being a master? So I thought like we can just touch upon this theme of master and servant and then relationship, especially in the setting of a spiritual institution, and then see what means some little things I can touch upon. So whatever I speak is like through this my glasses of material vision. So if something is relevant, inappropriate, so just ignore me because I'm like a child trying to speak something here. So I was just thinking to take up this theme of master and servant. Because in a spiritual institution, even outside these days, it's very famous, servant leadership. Even though these two terms like goes like not so generally is considered contradictory or paradoxical, but they come together and it's a very famous topic these days outside, servant leadership. Even outside people are recognizing it. So in a spiritual institution, of course, all the leadership is done in the mood of a servant leadership. But how does this work? Because when we are like in a taking up some practical services and being making sure that it happens, that somebody has to speak something to others in a way that it is corrected, and then they have to be made sure, it has to be made sure that they do this. Is there a chance that the other person feels bad? Is there a chance? Say, and if some person says, no, you should do like this, you should not be doing like this. Or if someone commits a mistake, so you correct them, there's kind of a punishment or a reformatory process, something. Does the other person feel bad?
Yes.
So if all are Vaishnavas, and if they feel bad, so then Vaishnava Aparad comes into picture. So then our spiritual lives are affected. So then what is the solution? So no management in a spiritual institution, is that a solution? So can a spiritual institution go on without any management? No. So but how do we do that? So should we do management at the cost of our spiritual lives? So it looks like such a delicate subject, because no spiritual, even if it's a spiritual institution, it cannot run without management. And if you do management, people will be hurt, and there may be like some repercussions in our spiritual life, which is the essence of the spiritual institution. So it's like such a confusing thing. But it can be resolved in a way by understanding what is the concept of offenses. What constitutes an offense? What means, before I just speak out what I have a conception, I would like to hear from, like what constitutes an offense?
With the intention to either cause harm or pain the other Vaishnava.
Perfectly.
Intention.
Perfectly. So it is the intention with which we do something to cause harm or pain to another Vaishnava. Anybody else would like to add?
And you keep yourself above someone else.
Okay. Means feeling better than others. Like,
making it.
Yeah.
One point, being insensitive about when we are approaching and when we are interacting or, doing service, anything, being insensitive means how the way other Vaishnava will feel. So we must always think that my behavior and my talk, everything should not hurt the other Vaishnava.
Very nice, being sensitive. So, yeah, nice points, like almost like I need not speak because they have told. You have told what I wanted to say, but still, just add a few more points to it. Like, in terms of this, this concept of offense, so there is like two personalities involved. So we can put it in this three categories, like a person has an intention to harm others or cause pain to another Vaishnava, but that personality does not take any offense. So this is one category. And there is another category which is that person had no intention of causing any harm or pain whatsoever. He had no intention of doing anything like that. He just did it naturally, but the other person feels bad. So this is one scenario. And the other scenario is this person wants to cause pain and the opposite person obviously feels the pain. So these can be the three possibilities, at least to my understanding. Like, one wants to cause pain and the other person feels it, and one doesn't want to cause any pain and the other person feels it, and then one also wants to cause but the other person does not experience any problem. So we can see scriptural examples for this, like Srila Rupa Goswami. He was meditating on the pastimes of Krishna, and then there was a Vaishnava who had some physical disability. So he was passing by, and then when Rupa Goswami laughed, so he thought he's laughing at me. So here Rupa Goswami had absolutely no intention of causing any pain or anything to that Vaishnava, but he felt that. So still Rupa Goswami was affected, his meditation was obstructed. So, and we don't even know the name of the Vaishnava. He's a devotee, advanced devotee, but still he's not like a famous like Rupa Goswami or anything. He's not like an acharya or anything like that. But still, an acharya like Rupa Goswami is being affected, even though he didn't have any intention of causing any offense towards that devotee. So here we can understand, and then he goes to Sanatana Goswami, and then Sanatana Goswami devises a way so that he can identify, and then he begs forgiveness. So here, he doesn't beg forgiveness. It is not technically forgiveness what Rupa Goswami speaks to that Vaishnava. It is clarification. So when we had no intention, and we understand, naturally every one of us, we understand if another person is disturbed with us or not. It's like if we are sensitive, and if we tend to avoid the other two categories of consciously wanting to harm others, and if that we avoid that, then Krishna will give us the intelligence to understand who is disturbed with us. Maybe not immediately, but surely if we do take caution not to offend others, surely Krishna will give us the intelligence to understand that, okay, probably this person feels disturbed like that. So we will not need beg for. How can you beg forgiveness? You had no ill intentions. You didn't want to cause any harm. So what is there for you to beg in forgiveness? Is it not superficial to go beg forgiveness? Probably I did some mistake. We haven't done anything. So what is there we need to do is clarify. Probably is there something that caused anything in my actions that caused you some difficulty? So that is called clarification, not forgiveness. So that the antidote for this is clarification. So go and clarify with the devotee. So when Rupa Goswami did that, oh my dear Vaishnava, I didn't have any intention of smiling at you or laughing at your disability. I just was meditating on Krishna, and then this pastime of Radharani being she's hanging on the tree. So because of that, I just laughed at it. I had no intention of causing any passing any remarks on your disability. So as soon as the clarification happened, the offense was not there. And then the second category of means wanting to cause harm, and the other person doesn't take it because he is an advanced Vaishnava. Like Gopal Chappal, he put the worshipping paraphernalia for Kali outside the home of Srivas Thakur. And then Srivas Thakur came out, and then he called all his neighbors. See what kind of a Vaishnava I am. In the night I am worshipping Kali, and then in the day I am putting on the garbs of a Vaishnava. And then they all said, no. Means they all could not believe that something can be done by like that by Srivas Acharya. And then they cleaned it. They didn't wait for Srivas Thakur to clean it. They immediately said, no, we don't believe in that. And then they went and cleaned all the stuff. And then, so in this case we see Srivas Thakur didn't take any offense. He didn't even know who did it. And he didn't feel anything bad about it. He probably thought, I should purify myself more. And here, but still, the reaction went to Gopal Chappal. And then he had to suffer for it. So this is one. So and when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went and begged forgiveness. He told, don't beg forgiveness from me, beg forgiveness from Srivas Thakur. So this is one category. And here, because the ill intention was there, it affected. And then the other category is, one commits a mistake, has a offensive tendency, and the other person also feels that. Means this may not be a very appropriate example, but the sons of Advaita Acharya, some of them are considered means fallen away from the spiritual principles, because they thought, because Advaita Acharya invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he appeared, and because of that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, Advaita Acharya is the Supreme Lord. Because he is the one who invited Sri Chaitanya. So that means he is more powerful than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they thought, when they presented it, they were sure that Advaita Acharya does not support it. And they knew Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they don't support it. But still, they stick to it. So they knew it's not pleasing, but they still stick to it. And then they were rejected from the Vaishnava community. So they had an offensive attitude, and then it was also taken as an offense, and then they were moved. So like this, there are various, these three options are there. Like, but in all this, the underlying is, what is our intention? So what do we feel like? So that's the most important thing. That only counts actually as an offense. And then if still we feel there's something we didn't want it to offend someone, but they feel disturbed, so we can clarify. But all that we can do is try to be pure in our intentions, which surely Krishna accepts. Because when Devananda Pandit, he had actually committed offense to Srivas Thakur, but he begged forgiveness. He did service to
what's the dancer's name?
Vakreshwar Pandit. So it is not that he directly went and begged forgiveness from Srivas Thakur, but still his heart was purified and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him mercy. Because his intentions were changed, his heart was clean. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand, now he is cleaned of his intentions to offend a Vaishnava. So because of that service that he rendered to Vaishnava, that service itself was born out of his remorseful attitude towards his offense committed towards Srivas Thakur. So in this way, once the intentions are purified, the Lord is pleased, and then he clears our way for our spiritual life. So this is one thing, because in a spiritual institution, there is many times when management comes into picture, there is a fear of, but it can be done. With that proper intention, it can be done, people can be corrected, because that's how a spiritual institution can be maintained. Otherwise, it cannot be maintained, because there are things which go wrong, and then people behave in certain ways which has to be reformed. So it has to be spoken by an appropriate person in an appropriate way, and then it has to be addressed. Otherwise, this way. It's a service, actually, important service, and that's how a spiritual institution can stay pure. So in that mood, this particular principle, as Raghugan, even though he's challenging that thing, and then Jadaparat also says it's all illusionist on the bodily platform. When it comes to a spiritual institution and when it is to be done, it has to be done with the proper intention. Otherwise, it's nothing. It's not something material. So there were. In earlier verses also there were some nice topics like impersonalism, Mayavadi philosophy, means that all those things were discussed. But like we have very less time, if anyone wants to add something.
Very complex subject. Everything you said was fantastic. There's something to be added perhaps. You touched on it a little bit. The intention to please Krishna. Maybe an extreme example, Arjuna shooting arrows at Grandfather Bhishma, a great devotee, right, to please Krishna, under Krishna's direction, for Krishna's satisfaction. So the ultimate, even if you serve a Vaishnava, if you just serve him, to serve the Vaishnava without the intention of pleasing Krishna, it's like if you worship a demigod, without the understanding this demigod is a servant of Krishna, it's inappropriate, you know, so... The ultimate criteria, just like Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Paritya, surrender to me, please me, I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. Even if externally it may seem to be abominable, if it's what Krishna is asking you to do, others may understand it, it may be contrary to normal rules and regulations at the time. time and circumstance, but if it's meant to please Krishna, and if that's what Krishna wants you to do, you should do it. We don't speak on our own behalf. We don't chastise on our own behalf. We don't serve on our own behalf. We do all these things in connection with pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's our real criteria. This is what Krishna wants. Prabhupada would sometimes, roar like a lion. I said no! Think, that's offensive. Isn't it offensive? No, because it's totally theatrical. It's meant for pleasing the Lord, and the person may find it pleasing, hurtful, or not, but, sometimes it has to be remedial. And that's what Krishna wants you to do. We're willing to kill for Krishna. Or wash someone's feet, or even let someone kill us. if that's what Krishna wants. We don't want to leave Krishna out of the equation when the criteria of what is an offense comes up, please.
Today is also the appearance day of Srila Lochan Das Thakur. His one of the principal modes which is like very unique to him in the sense which is very central to his personality is his exclusive shelter of Sri Gauranatha. So his bhajans also carries that mode. If somebody has not chanted the name of Nidai, so
he just come and die.
He's like that's like a super strong. So he's going to hell. And his there is no use of his. It's of course true. It's honestly true. But it is for a condition. So it's so harsh to. It's so heavy to take. But he had that sharp mood. If somebody has chanted the name, not chanted the name of Nitai, so say Papa Are. Means he just comes and goes in this cycle of material birth and death. Say Papi Ara Ela. That means he was Bengali Ara. So he comes and goes in this cycle of material birth and death because he has not chanted the name of Nitai. And also our Mahavatsav Prabhu is leading a Parama Karuna Bhajan after the Guru Puja Kirtan before the breakfast. Anyone wants to join can join to respect Srila Lochan Das Thakur. It is a famous bhajan, one of the very famous bhajans that Srila Prabhupada sang many times and then he shed tears and he wrote a purport to that bhajan. So it's such an important bhajan for all Gaudiya Vaishnavas that is written by Lochan Das Thakur. And also there is an interesting, his life is also very interesting that even though once he went to a village to see a girl for his marriage and he wanted to know the way to that house. And then he was walking by and then he saw in a pond there was a girl taking water. So he asked her, "Mother, where is this particular so-and-so house?" And that is the girl who happens to be actually he is supposed to get married. And then she politely just shows the way and then he goes away because she didn't have any idea that this boy has come to see her. So then she goes and then when he understands that the same girl that I addressed as mother before sometime is the one who I'm supposed to marry, so he said, "I'm not going to marry." So because once he addressed that kind of a sincere integrity. So once one of our senior brahmacharis was saying, "This is the standard of Lochan Das," and then Locha Das.
Locha.
So I don't know, it's a Hindi term. Locha means trouble. So people people have troublesome attitude, so they say something and then do something else, so it causes problems. So here we can see the integrity of an advanced devotee. So once he said something, they mean everything that they say. That we also pray to Lochan Das Thakur that we mean actually from our hearts whatever we say in our life. Let us actually mean it. Let us actually understand what we are saying and how it is important to our lives and then how we have to live by it. Because it's not easy for a conditioned soul in Kali Yuga because the symptoms of Kali Yuga is quarrelsome and hypocrisy. So, but an advanced Vaishnava like this, they show what is the how much integrity they have in lives. But just they're seeing one address, they live for it. But here, like, we say so many things, we mean something else and then act in a different way. So all three are in different angles, like words, thoughts and action, all like three different axes. But for a great soul, all are in the, are so much aligned to, as Adipurush Prabhu was saying, just to please Krishna. Thank you very much for this opportunity. How much time?
Five minutes.
So, I was thinking, earlier one topic came like about impersonalism. So, I just was thinking how it's so nice to speak about against impersonalism, you know? Even though it's like, it's on my own lower tendency to...
Slash.
You want to say something?
Can I ask a question on the...
Yeah, no
it's
problem.
Okay.
Yes,
sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
The Rupa Goswami incident, doesn't it become a little... It's a little scary, because if you have no intention, then also somebody is going to take offense. So, what is the...
So, in our spiritual lives, like these things like offense and other things, we should be careful, but we need not be paranoid by that. Because Krishna is not a very heartless master. As I said, if we take care of those two other categories, which is in our control, because there is a circle of influence and then the circle of concern, if we surely behave properly, perfectly in the circle of influence where we are, like that we don't harbor any bad intentions towards anyone, and then also externally act in a way, because we know some things, if we do like this, he will be hurt. When we know things and then we don't do it in a wrong way, and then we take extreme care not to offend anyone, surely Krishna will give us the intelligence and the indication if somebody is actually offended like that. And then that will, we will come to know about it, and then we will be able to clarify it also. That Krishna will arrange surely. If we are sincere to do these two categories, take care of, the other category will be taken care of. His Holiness Brihad Bhagavat Swami Maharaj, so he was mentioning once how he was a temple president, and then he had to correct one devotees in the temple. So, and so she was a brahmacharini in the ashram, and he was the temple president, and he had to correct her. And then, because he was a temple president, he just went like on the issue. So then, and then told, and then it happened. After 15 years, this lady, it affected her heart so much. And then she got married, and then Prabhu became like Brihat Muridanga Prabhu became Brihat Bhagavat Swami Maharaj. So it is after 15 years he had moved out of from Durban, and then he had become a temple president in Vrindavan. So many things happened in his life, and then he became a sannyasi, and then he is there in Durban back for some place he was visiting, and then this Mataji happens to be there with her husband, and then she introduces. So he goes to that lady because he has nothing in his heart, because he told whatever in his role, and then it's 15 years he forgot. But then he realizes, oh, this Mataji is serving in this place. So he goes and speaks to her, and then her husband is next to her, and then she introduces. And then he speaks to her, how are you, Mataji, how are you doing? It's so nice to see you after so many years. And then this lady introduces, this is Brihat Bhagavat Swami, he was Brihat Muridanga Prabhu earlier. And you know, one day he chastised me like this. And then she told, and then she went. She didn't even look at Maharaj's face. And then she turned, means he is a sannyasi now. And then she is introducing like this to her husband. And then she turned, and then she didn't even look at Maharaj's face. She directly left. And then Maharaj understood, means I don't even remember something like this happened. But it seems that she has been affected for such long time. So he went and then offered prostrate obeisances to her and to her husband, and then seriously begged forgiveness that I have no intention of doing anything like that. And then he honestly begged forgiveness, and then it affected her so much. She felt so bad that such an advanced Vaishnava, he has no malice in his heart. So she became so affected. She felt, over for the last 15 years I was carrying this in my heart. What kind of a bad person I am. And she felt so remorseful, and then she invited Maharaj, please come home. I have come to an offense. I want to atone. I'll feed you prasad. In that way, at least I can do some service. And then he gets to go to their home, and then she cooks a big feast, and then there is like so much love flowing. Because of that, opening was there. So, because Maharaj was saying, when he took sannyas, he publicly announced to the Durban community that when I was a temple president, if I had done anything which affected you, please, I beg forgiveness. Like that, he had taken, given a public address before taking sannyas. So in that way, because he is sincere to avoid the other two categories, Krishna showed in the corner of the world somewhere, some one lady had some problem, so he brought it before him and he addressed it. So if we have sincerity, surely Krishna is going to help. So thank you for all everything. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki
Jai
Koti Vaishnava
Jai
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 Guru Ki
Jai.